Peggy and I are going to be gone for a couple weeks. We're going to India, so we won't be back. So that means don't stay at home. I've asked the Holy Spirit to come, and so the Holy Spirit will be here. So church is not pastors. All right, church is people. Amen. And it's God's church, not people's church. Not your church, not my church. It's God's church. All right, let's turn to Zechariah the prophet. We did this last year, especially right near the end. We did Zechariah. So look at Zechariah chapter 4. Now, I told you this year we're going to talk about the kingdom, receiving the kingdom of God, how you receive the kingdom. How you receive the kingdom. Now, I'm not preaching. I'm teaching. There's a difference. Preaching is, you know, shout, exhort, and so on. But I'm not preaching. Now, that doesn't mean I don't preach. But basically, because I do preach, basically I'm teaching, which is different. But I'm not fully teaching either. I'm trying to be very accurate for you. Because really teaching is discipleship. And I'm not exhorting you to do something. I'm explaining to you what it is that you were exhorted to do. Because, you see, the problem in the church today is there's a lot of preaching out there, but it isn't making people grow up. And people need more knowledge. They need more understanding so that they can fit it on their lives. And what you lack is the big picture. You often don't get the big picture. You know you're supposed to be good and do this and do that and so on. You're not supposed to do something or other. But you really don't know how it all fits together. And you get part of it and you're not sure. Like, you know, being born again. I mean, that's good. And the Baptists focus on that. So we know that's okay. We all agree with that. You know, there's got to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But how does that fit in with the other one? Is that the same or different? Do you need it or is it extra credit or so on? Then others are into, you know, liturgies and you know, wearing robes and lighting candles and stuff and a lot of rituals. Is that part of it too? And so people are all mixed up as to exactly what is Christianity and how is that different than Buddhism or Hinduism or whatever. And so I want to lay out to you what's in the Scripture because everybody does agree that Scripture is the norm. Even the Catholics who used to and they still have a little bit of problem with this, but the Catholics agree now that Scripture is normative. That is, you can't just come up and make something up. It's got to be scriptural. So they used to say Scripture and tradition because they wanted to sneak a lot of stuff in that wasn't in Scripture. Right? A lot of holy water and all kinds of nonsense and paraphernalia that came right out of Babylon. Comes out of the Babylonian pagan religion. So a lot of the Catholic stuff, in fact, almost everything that's considered Catholic came out of paganism. The collars, the robes, the altars, the whole bit. Jesus did none of that. Paul did none of that. Peter did none of that. The early church did none of it. You understand? None of it. None of it. Not any of it. Anything that we call Catholic, I'm not picking on the Catholics, I'm just using them as an example because the Protestants are just as crazy. And the Pentecostals are even crazier than the crazy Protestants. So, and then we get down to our group, which is even crazier than that. But it's good to get the big picture, and it's good to see. For me, it's personal. For me, religion is not religion. It's a personal love affair with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in love. I didn't get to this by ritual, by background. I didn't even go to church till I was 11. I didn't get in the normal way to God. I got there the hard way by being a pagan and then finding out there wasn't anything in it. It wasn't God that I was seeking. It was just trying to understand paganism. I was trying to be the most pagan. You know, I was just having trouble figuring it out, you know, because I couldn't. And that's a problem with the pagans. The pagans, you know, they're looking for happiness, but they can't find it. They're looking for, you know, something that's true and reliable, but they can't get it. Hugh Hefner can't find it. You know, Dallas hasn't found it. So you can have religious legalism that doesn't make it. You can have licentious living, and that doesn't make it. You know, so how do you make it? And the politics today is all messed up because everyone else is messed up. So nobody knows anything today. It's a hodgepodge. I'm sorry, the language doesn't even work today. You can say a word and nobody even knows what you're talking about because everybody has their own understanding of everything. So my generation, 1940s up, my generation grew up, you know, thinking there was meaning to life, and then they discovered later, nobody teaches that anymore. And my generation is the one that did that for you. Other people had talked about it in the past, but we instituted it. Now everything is relative and nothing makes sense, and, you know, crazy is, you know, okay, and okay is crazy, and, you know, nobody knows anything anymore. Everything is absolute confusion out there. If you would listen to television, you can't learn anything. Nobody knows if homosexuality is a sin, or whether it's an alternate lifestyle, or whether it's healthy or sicko or what. Nobody knows anything. Adultery is now commonplace, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So everything is utter confusion. Do I have anyone that's with me so far? Now, in the midst of all of that, I, who am the greatest pagan, there's nobody more pagan than I in my growing up. There's nobody that can say, I was more pagan than he was. Now I'm as pagan as you could get. But I'm now in love with Jesus Christ, so I threw away my pagan. I'm not a pagan anymore. But I came into a church that claimed to be Christian, but I found it was pagan. I know what pagan is. I can see a pagan when I see one, and that's pagan. I used to lie, so I know what liars are. I used to be a deceiver, so I know what deceivers are, and so on. I know what selfishness is. So a lot of you claim to be Christian, but I know you're not in love. I can just tell. I know what love is because I used to not be a lover, and now I am one, and I know the difference. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, it's personal with me. It's intimate. It's lonely. I was praying this morning. I was thinking, you know, who really influenced me in my life? You know, who did I follow? Who did I? And the answer is no one. I didn't know that. I mean, I really had never thought about that. But I never found anybody that I would say, there are a lot of people that influenced me and had an impact on me, but none of them shaped me. It was totally lonely, and I didn't feel lonely. But I mean, it was all alone. You're all alone. Personal, intimate, and, you know, it had nothing to do with where anybody else was. There were Christians out there, but I never found the Christians to be very Christian. When I got close, I was always disappointed that they were either weak or wicked. Does anybody notice that? I mean, the good ones. You know, so you really couldn't shape your life according to, because they always see too many flaws, and, you know, they weren't always honest, and so on. So the only one that I really met was Jesus himself. And he's not alive, not in the sense that we think of alive. But for me, he is everything. For me, he's alive. See, Jesus is more alive than you are. As far as I'm concerned, Jesus is my everything. See, he's my holy example. He's my merciful Savior. He's my powerful Lord. I mean, anything I need, it's Jesus. He's my all in all. That makes sense? That's the only way. I don't know how to grow by a Pastor Jim or by some hero or someone you can find, because I never found that person. And I'm not that person. So don't be looking at me. I'll just tell you right off, you know, so it'd save you a lot of time. I'm flawed. But one thing I don't have a flaw in, that is my faith in Jesus. One thing I don't have a flaw in, that is I am devoted to following him all the way. I'm not flawed there. I don't follow him all the way, but I'm devoted to. But I do follow him a lot. So I want to show you something, how you build, because I told you this year is going to be all about the kingdom. I want to show you how you build a house, how you build a kingdom. Now, here's how you start. Okay? That is a cornerstone. But it's not human. It's not made by human hand. No human hand can make this cornerstone. Now, in a building, in every building made by man, there's a human cut cornerstone, capstone, main stone, first stone. You know, when builders build, they always lay down the first stone. And put the date on it sometimes, or maybe write the building's name on it or something. So something is graven or graved on this stone. So I'm going to make some graving on this stone just for your understanding here. I'm going to put one of these on it. Anybody know what that is? That's the law or the Torah. So I'm going to write the word holy. So this building that we're going to build on top of this, you know, we're going to build up, we're going to build back, we're going to build over here. You know, we're going to build onto this building, and everything in the building is going to be measured by that stone. This is how I built my life. I first built my life around my own ideas, and I had no ideas. The only thing I could think of was be selfish. That's the only thing I could think of is, hey, get for yourself. Did anybody ever build on that idea? Just get for yourself. Marry someone to abuse and use for your purposes. Use other people. Dog eat dog and so on. Well, I built everything on myself. Cheat, lie, steal, whatever. I did all of that. I cheated all the way through school. I lied everywhere. It just comes natural to me. I am just a natural exaggerator. Does anybody else have the gift of exaggeration? Just whatever. Don't even bother to figure out what the truth is. Just it sounds good. So say it. Do you understand? I'm gifted that way. That's my natural being. But when you meet Jesus, he cuts that stuff off. He doesn't want any more lying and no more exaggeration and no more, anxiety and selfishness and so on. He just cuts that off and says, Jim, let me be your all in all. So you have to measure yourself by this stone. It'll crush you. If you got any flesh in you, it'll crush it. This stone is because it's holy, anything in you that's not holy, and that was everything. I mean, everything about me was unholy. There was nothing holy about me. I wasn't moral. I wasn't religious. I had no religion in me and no moral in me. Total pagan. I'm just telling you, I wasn't even a moral pagan or a religious pagan. I was just a pagan pagan. Just as raw as you could be. It's kind of a Chicago thing. It's Chicago. I don't think Texas was like that. That was the way it was in Chicago. That's mafia town. But you know what? I've noticed that the mafia is down here. That is amazing. Have you noticed that? This is a Christian town, but I noticed there are homosexuals controlling this town, not Christians. And I noticed the mafia controls this town, not Christians. And I noticed there's a lot of divorces in this town, not Christian. I just see things that make me think that even though there's a lot of Christians here, they are not impacting and changing this town. They haven't taken over. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here. I'm here to change that. Because the Jesus I met, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he doesn't like the Dallas he sees. He doesn't want a fake and phony, pretend Christian Dallas. He wants the real thing. So that's why you're here. You're not here in crowds or en masse, but you're here. And we'll just take anything we can get. We don't advertise or anything. So you can't even find this place. In fact, we don't even have a name. I think you've noticed. Have you seen the sign? It just says worship. That's it. So worship 9 o'clock or something. That's it. So it's kind of like hard to. What kind? We don't tell anything. So you have difficulty. Because we don't believe in names and addresses and all that. My kingdom is not of this world, Jesus said. My kingdom is not of this world. In this world there's names and addresses, but not in the kingdom of God. You won't find one name and address in the New Testament. No church had a name. No church had an address. And many, 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 many other things. But anyway, I'm not talking about all that. Here's what I want to talk about. I just want to talk about this stone. Well, that's the first side of the stone is holy. I'll put that on top. That's where you begin. I'm going to call that number one. I'll put number one on there. One. Number two, I'm going to put it like this. Another little graven symbol there. And I'm going to call that one mercy. Merciful. I'm going to put mercy down. So not only is this stone a holy stone, to build a house, you got to start with a foundation that everything is measured against. It's got to be holy. If we're going to be a people, we're going to be a holy people. Amen? I mean, no unholiness is allowed. That doesn't mean you don't do it, but when you do it, you have to say you're sorry. You have to say, God, forgive me. If I yell at my wife, I have to say, I was wrong, I was evil, forgive me. Do you understand? You're not allowed to abuse your wife. Wives are not allowed to be unsubmissive to their husbands. Did I catch you? You see? So we don't allow it. That doesn't mean you don't do it. It just means when you do it, you're not allowed to say it was right. You're not allowed to justify it. You have to say, hey, that's not according to the stone. So in the church, you're not allowed to lie, cheat, steal, and so on, all the stuff I did. So that stone crushed me. I mean, it killed me. It crucified me. When I met that stone, I had no holiness in me at all. I was totally unholy, common, secular, vulgar. You know, everything about me was wrong. So when I met Jesus, I had a lot of cleaning up to do, not, you know, like a flat tire fixed or something. I had to get a whole new car. I drove in and said, put a little air in that tire, this thing's not working. He said, get out of that car, it's going to explode right now. You get out, you need a brand new car. It's like, well, I don't think I need a brand new car. I'm pretty good compared to other people. And he said, no, there's nothing good about you. Well, I'll go along with that, but I don't think other people are any good either. You know. So he said, well, get out, you need a new car. So he gave me a whole new life. Jesus came in and took over my life. He just felt like the job I was doing was no good. The way I was running my life was ruining it. Did you ever run your life and just find out you're ruining it? Everything you thought was good is not working out. Has anybody ever discovered that? That all the good you had that you brought to the table wasn't really that good. In fact, all of your assets turned out to be liabilities. Did you learn that? Your smarts don't help. Your beauty doesn't help. Your, you know, control systems don't work. Has everybody discovered that? No, this is just for fun. How many wives here would like to control your husbands a little more than you do? Yeah, well, you're lying. Yeah, everybody, because you're a vulnerable spot. You know, you're submitted to an unreliable head. You know, that God put there, but he's not reliable. He's not reliable. How many men here know that they're not reliable? Let me just see a show of hands. You are not reliable. Jesus is reliable. But you're not. You can't keep it up for a couple minutes. You're out. You're out of juice right away. Guys just don't last that long. You kind of wind them up, they're out like that. They just, you know, guys are okay for a couple minutes, but they just don't last long. So when you marry one, you better have a lot of batteries, because they just can't keep up the love and the reliance and the dependability. Most guys live a double, triple, quadruple life. You can't ask them, you know, well, now, which person are you? Because they don't even know. They just adapt so quickly without any guilt or thought about it. That's why a lot of guys don't go to church, because they figure even though they don't know what all their bad stuff is, it'll probably be found out in church, so they don't want to go. Because guys hate to be hypocrites. They know they are, but they don't want to be caught at it. And wives are just, they itch to do that. You know, they love to, I know what's wrong with you. You know, and wives are just so gifted at that discernment. Neglecting, of course, their own self-righteousness. Hiding that. But anyway, don't worry about it. Guys and girls are, you know, deserve each other. They're a good match. I'm telling you, they are. Because no woman has ever found a man yet that she could rely upon. And no man ever yet has found a woman that respected him, honored him, and was happy with him as he is. He's always fix-upable. You ever notice that about marriage? The wife always thinks, well, I know he's not perfect, but when I marry him, my love will change him. That is funny. Don't you think that's funny? That is really funny. Well, I know he's not perfect, but I'm still going to go ahead and marry him because he's cute. He's rich. He's good-looking. He's, you know, whatever. And I know my mother said I should wait. And I know a lot of my friends wonder what's wrong with me and so on. I'm just going to marry him because I know my love will change him. Well, it won't. It won't at all. Men never change for wives. Even when they pretend they do, they're just pretending. There's a lot of guys that say stuff like this. Okay, all right, whatever you say. You would think that's cooperation. That's a guy who really doesn't want to do it, but he just says, okay. You don't see the humor of that. Guys have, they don't care. They don't care about your crying and your, you know, carrying on and so on. Guys are just stubborn. Anyway. But, you know, you women all deserve it because you're all dumb enough to marry men. I mean, I can't imagine why a woman would do that. I understand the lesbian thing. I can understand that because they know men are not reliable. No, I'm serious. I can see how they're trying to get something reliable, so they figure another woman is more reliable than a man. That is a dumb thought. That is really dumb. That shows how dumb women are. They're not only dumb by men, they're dumb by women too. They don't know anything. So today's world is crazy. Amen? It's crazy. But not only is Jesus the Holy One, the foundation upon which everything is built, not only is Jesus the merciful one, your Savior, the one that rescues you and forgives you. So when you don't do this, you get one of these. If you fail here, you can go down here. It's a good stone. But even more important, I mean, why this is all there, is there's a third side over here, and this third side is critical to build this kingdom, to build this house, to build your life. And that, I'm going to put a little crown here, and then I'm going to put underneath, because government is nothing but what I'm going to put down here, mighty or power. I'm just going to write down power. Government is nothing but power. You know, in the end, government is just force. You see, the policeman doesn't pull you over and say, you know, if you'd like to, you go a little slower. He doesn't do that. He just says, you know, you were speeding, you're going to pay this much money or pull over, whatever. It's just force. And he has a gun. He's wearing a gun. Because he has to use force on you. Everything the government does is force. That's why government should never be in education. Because you're forcing. And force has nothing to do with education. Education should be free. That's why there's no education today. And there can never be. Public education, which is now under the government, a government school, can never educate. Impossible. I'm right. I don't care what anyone says. I'm smart, too. I'm right and I'm smart. I know why they're making all their mistakes, and I'm not going to correct them. Let them fail. Because you have to ask God when you're a Christian, God, what do you want me to do? It's not, well, how much do I know? It's, what do you want me to do about what I know? You understand? And he doesn't want me correcting anything. He's not telling me to go out and correct anything. I'm not correcting anything. I just don't agree. And I know it's not going to work. No one can be educated today. Now, when I was a boy in 1940, there still was the possibility of education because the government hadn't gotten that involved in it. Public school at that time really meant parents. Doesn't mean that anymore. There are no parents involved anymore. It's all government education, standards, goals, purposes. It's all set up by the government to brainwash everybody into being a docile citizen. That is under their control, no thinking allowed. So you're not taught to be, you don't know the difference between this and that. You just know what the government tells you. You know, let's all get along and so on. The government has its own interests. It has no interest in you being free. It has an interest in you being a slave. So your government now is the biggest slaver in the history of the world. Now you may think you're the freest people on earth, but you're actually slaves. You have no constitution. You had one. But you lost it because you don't even know why you did or what's going on. But anyway, forget all that. I could go on to the economy. The government has no business in the economy. The government shouldn't be doing business. But all business is now controlled by government. Every business, all business. Even if you think you're an entrepreneur, you've got to account to the government. You've got to give a full accounting. You've got to disclose everything to them. And don't think they're not going to use that to their own advantage. Oh, we will not take advantage of anybody. They're lying. I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you the truth. Government should not be in business. There's nothing in the Constitution that says government's involved in education. There's nothing that says it's involved in business. Even if it gave some money for it, you can't give money to control it, as in Texas. That's in the Constitution, that they can give money, but not that they can define it or direct it or control it. It's a totally different deal. The money that they gave half of the land of Texas, so to speak, to raise money for school kids. But not to direct it. How can the government know what education is? Government's just people. Are they educators? Do they know anything? Not so. They just have their own agendas. So if they're paying for it, they control it. So they want to define it. They want to get the tests out. And they want to say this and that. They're lying. Everything they're doing is a lie. Why? Because it's not built on a right foundation. It has nothing to do with the Declaration of Independence. It has nothing to do with the Texas Constitution. They have to pervert everything. Well, I'm not telling you this to be negative. I'm just simply pointing something out, is that if you get off on the wrong foundation, everything you build is in vain. That's why your government will never work anymore. You don't have a government. I just want you to know that. You don't have a government. It is not God's government. It's there, but you're the one that's the problem, because it was of the people, for the people, by the people, but you gave it up. You wanted to watch television. Yeah, you did. You wanted to watch television. You wanted to buy another car. You were focused on dollar bills, which are just pieces of paper. And now you lost everything. You lost your home, you lost your car, you lost everything. All the stuff you thought you got, you were just kidding yourself. You don't own anything. Do you know you couldn't even grow a carrot in your backyard? The government controls your backyard. They control the trees. They control the water, a puddle. If it rains and there's a puddle on your property, that's a government puddle. Do you understand? It belongs to the UN. You probably don't even realize. You don't have any rights any longer. Just the wealthy, wealthy, wealthy people, and there's a bunch of them here in Texas. Now, they get stuff, but they get stuff by playing the game, and the game is rigged against you. They just use government. Government's just a puppet of their interests to trick you. Isn't that funny? They don't seem to be happy about that. But, you know, don't worry about it, because you don't even want to know about all that. You don't want to know about that. So let's talk about things you do want to know about. This is what you want to know about. Let's start with this. Because this is the first thing in life, forget economy, politics, society, forget all that. You can't even figure out today what a Muslim is or a Christian or anything. You don't even know. So let's start at the beginning. Let's build a kingdom, and let's start with the first stone. This is the first stone. It's called the cornerstone. So I'm going to write that down. Jesus is our cornerstone. That is kind of funny. Because how can a person be a cornerstone? How can a person corner stone? That's funny, because stones are stones. But Jesus calls himself, and he is called by God in the Bible, the cornerstone. So I want to read Zechariah here. I want to read Zechariah and show you that this is a spiritual cornerstone. It's not a physical one. Verse chapter 4, Zechariah chapter 4. This was last year. We did this last year, but I want to build on it. Verse 6. So he answered and said to me, this is an angel. An angel is answering and saying to Zechariah, the prophet, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Oh my gosh, what a name, Zerubbabel. Let's write Zerubbabel up here. Zeru, and then I'm going to write Babel. Zerubbabel. All right. Now, I made it like that so you could understand it. It's got two B's in the middle. Zerubbabel. Zeru means shoot or seed. So I'm just going to write down seed, you know, like a little seed that you have a plant. And Babel, what do you think Babel is? You can guess it. What's Babel? A lot of confusion and noise. What is Babylon? Yeah, you're right, but it's Babylon. Okay, you remember the Babylonians captured Israel? So the seed, which is the holy seed, okay, so this is what it really means, is the holy seed, which is Israel, right? Israel is in exile in Babylon, and it's going to produce fruit in Babylon. Or I'll put it this way. The church is in the world, but even in the world, not yet in heaven, we can produce fruit here. Even though we've sinned, the only reason they got into Babylon is because they sinned. Remember, they were in the promised land? This is what history is all about right now. It's what the television's all about. Everything's all about this. I'm telling you the truth. It'll set you free. Look at right today, Israel is a seed, but she's in exile. She's not, even though she's in her own land, she has to give her land away. All of her leaders. Now, Ehud Barak, the last guy, and then Bibi Netanyahu, they all gave away the land, and now this guy started to cooperate and give away the land. Now he's got a headache, and he's in trouble. Now they're going to have to get another guy, and it might go back to Bibi. It might go back to Bibi. Bibi Netanyahu. That would be funny if it went back to him, wouldn't it? Well, watch. Because God is doing a new thing in our day. What he's trying to say is, Israel, stop trying to be pure and holy. Just admit you're not. Religion, stop playing. Stop faking me. Stop pretending. Just admit you're fleshly, sinful, wicked, nasty. I'm gonna write out here. I'm gonna make a picture of the world out here. Make a picture of the world. This is the world. What is that? That's a ziggurat. That's right. It's a pyramid. It's Dallas. Anybody recognize? This is Dallas. All right. Now, everything in the world is common. Everything in the world is secular, belonging to this age, to this time. And everything in the world is temporal. It's not going to last. Everything in the world is common, secular, and temporal. Now, everything about this house that God is building, watch this, watch how it's opposite. It is holy, not common. It's spiritual, not secular. And what's the opposite of temporal? Eternal. So everything over here, one, two, three, the house that God is building, you and me, by the way, because we're the temple, Jesus is the cornerstone of our temple, but we're the temple that he's building us onto, from, for. Everything about us is holy, spiritual, and eternal, but we exist in a world that's common, secular, and temporal. And it's amazing that God can build in a bad neighborhood. It's amazing that God is not disturbed at all by the fact that his church is asking for a holy church in an unholy world. That is amazing to me. How can a me, I'll just make it personal because this is personal for me. I was a total pagan, common, secular, and temporal. Everything about me was non-lasting, vain, empty, wicked, nasty, so on. But God reached down, picked me up, and said, Jim, I want to build you again. You're built wrong. I was built wrong. He said I had to repent. Well, how much do I have to repent of? Everything. Everything. Well, there won't be any me left. If everything about me needs to repent, if everything about me is common and nothing is holy, if everything about me is secular and nothing is spiritual, if everything about me is temporal and I have no eternal, how do I get that? Free gift. Free gift. Is that not incredible? That God sees me as common, secular, and temporal, and he says, you know, you need an adjustment. And I'm thinking, you know, 498 or, you know, a special or something. And he's going, no, I mean like total replacement. Like total replacement? Well, how will I survive? Well, first we have to kill you. Like, then what? You know, no, let's wait, well, hold on that. Let's hold on that. I was not thinking of death. I was thinking of a little bit of a wound, maybe, a little patching of the garment. But Jesus said, no, Jim, everything about you is wrong. You have no holy in you. Holy cow, is that true? Going to India. So. Holy cow, you mean there's nothing holy about me? No, nothing. Nothing. Oh, okay. Well, you're going to give me that free gift? Yeah, I'll give you holy. What about on the spiritual? No, everything about you is secular. You're just of this world. My kingdom's not of this world. My kingdom, my house, my kingdom, it's going to have to be holy. And I want it to be all spiritual. I don't want to have any secular in it. Every church today in this city is holy mixed with secular. That's evil. It's incorporated into this world. It can't be. I thought we were incorporated into Christ. Christ is not secular. Christ is completely spiritual. He's completely eternal. Everything he's doing is holy. It's spiritual. It's eternal. He doesn't put up with this other stuff, clean and unclean. It's either clean or it's unclean. You can't have it like half and half. That's the way we'd like to do it. Well, I'd like to have the kingdom, but I'd like to have some money too. I'd like to have the kingdom, but I'd like to have a decent wife or a husband. I'd like to have the kingdom, but I'd like to also have, you know, good food. I mean, you can't mix them. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, everything will be added to you. See, first means give up everything, sell everything you've got, and buy that pearl of great price. But it's a free gift. Actually, you don't have anything worth anything. Let's see, I'll sell my common. How much you want to pay for common? It's like, well, not too much. No, nothing. Oh, well, how about my secular? No, it has no value in the eyes of God. What about my temporal stuff? What do you think of that? Look at that, kind of shiny. It's like, no, all your stuff is damaged goods. Oh, all of it? And I was hoping to get a pretty good price. Well, actually, you're going to have to come by and eat without money, because everything's a free gift. The wages of sin is death. Because unfortunately, this common world cannot avoid idolatry. Even Christians have it. And that always leads to immorality. All immorality comes from idolatry. You probably didn't hear what I just said. All injustice is built on immorality. So the problem today in the world is bad religion produces bad life, results in bad politics and business. All injustice in this world is then just kind of like rise up. It's totally derivative. Get your religion right, you get your social, economic, and political right. You get your moral right. You get everything right. But you get your religion wrong? That's the problem with America today. America today is all messed up. The founding fathers were crystal clear. The founding fathers were very clear. They made a government. It wasn't a Christian government, but it was a God government. It was a God-fearing government. Not the same as Christian. Christian is a particular. God is a universal. Government cannot even be built without God. Even the godless government of Russia is built on God. I mean, just because they don't acknowledge him doesn't mean he's not there. He's invisible. He actually is in Russia. He's in the Muslim countries. He's everywhere because God is God. And he made the place. You can't get rid of him. Now, when I was growing up, I didn't have any God in my life that I knew about, but I later found out that he was there. He was there all the time. When my mother tried to abort me four times, he was there. He said, I'd like to save that scrappy guy. I'd like to save out that garbage, that trash. I'd like to save that. You're just going to reject it. Because grandmother told my mother, you know, that's the end of your life. You're, you know, 17 or whatever you are. You know, your life is over. You could have amounted to something, but this little boy is going to ruin your life. Here I am. You know, oh, my mom, you know, she messed up, and here I came. You know, so they tried to get rid of me if they tried, you know, real hard, but these, you know, the stuff they put in me, and it didn't work. And she told me, she's explained to me how they did it. And it's like, wow, mom, that's cool. I must have been really clever. I must have been clever to avoid all that stuff coming at me. You know, they put in liquids and, you know, all kinds of things to try to get rid of me. Because that was grandmother kind of helped her out there. It's, well, the normal way they do it is like this, you know. And so, but unfortunately, it was a shame in those days to get an abortion. So they had to kind of use home remedies. You know, and they were doozies, see. But it didn't work in my case. Because when the salt water and stuff came in there, I just... I don't know what I did. You know, I was too dumb to know anything. You know, I didn't know anything. So I think the hand of God was upon me. Then I grew up pagan. I never darkened the door of a church till I was 11 years old. Isn't that amazing? How you could be born in America and never even go to a church. Never went inside a church, ever, till I was 11 years old. And then my third father came along and said, you know, we're Lutheran. You're going to go to the Lutheran church. I didn't know what that was, you know. I'd seen Catholic churches by the side of the road, but I didn't go in them because they're scary. They had statues and stuff in there. It's all kind of dark in there and scary. Little candles lit, you know. I mean, I didn't understand. It's all mysterious to me. All I knew is be selfish. Get everything for yourself, you know, survive. Because when I was little, I didn't believe the world was fair and nice and all that stuff. I just believed it was dog eat dog, and you gotta take care of yourself because my mom's not going to take care of me. And I had no dads. They were coming and going, and I couldn't figure out, you know, who was who. And none of my other relatives had any stability either. I never knew who my cousins were going to be at the next Christmas thing. It says, are we still have Cousin Gloria? No, that was his fourth wife. No, she's not with us now. He's got another one. He's just sleeping with her. He's not actually. Oh, Uncle Duke really is cool, you know. And so my Uncle Duke, which is really mafia. Duke is mafia. I didn't know that. I thought his name was Duke. I didn't know. But he was actually mafia. Now, he was Irish mafia. So that's part of my shanty Irish background. See, he was really scum, bad, poor. Grew up in a little two-car garage with nothing. No heat, no nothing. Nothing in there. That's pretty neat. The pump, you know, outhouse. This is the kind of life, you know. And you eat off the ground. I told you many times, I picked up the grass and that's what we ate. We made salads out of that, you know, clovers and dandelion greens and so on. Apparently today, that's good restaurant stuff. But, you know, in my day, my grandmother knew that because that was my job to go out and cut it off. You didn't cut out the roots, you just cut off the leaves so it could grow back again. It's very clever. I was kind of like a little garden out in the grass. So we ate all kinds of stuff. And I tell you what, it's made me healthy to this day. I'm glad I ate that stuff. You all understand? So I didn't have any silver spoon or anything like that. It was just, you know, get rid of the guy. And you grew up in scared. I lived in absolute terror the whole time I was growing up. Terror. Because everybody was shooting everybody and stabbing and raping and all this stuff. I guarantee you there's not one kid that I grew up with that's either alive today or not in jail. It was a bad neighborhood. Bohemian, Czechoslovakian, Russian, you know, we had bad folk in our neighborhood. I remember Krizak and Sledki and all this stuff. Shilchesky, you know, these are my neighbors. And they're all going to prison. I mean, they're bad people. But they do make good kolachkis. You know, and I remember that. And we used to go to these beer barrel polkas. You know, you've all heard of that. When I was a kid, we went every Saturday night. We went to the little hall in the neighborhood, and they used to dance and get drunk. And so I didn't even know what it all was. We just had fun shooting BB guns at each other and stuff. We didn't know. I got wounds here still, you know, from the time of the kids shooting each other and so on, because that's all we did. We didn't know what else to do. King of the mountain, so on. Now, this common world has no value. It's vain. This secular, temporal world is subject to, and it can't fight off, idolatry, immorality, and injustice. You can't get rid of it without Jesus. There's no hope for the common. Common could be good if Jesus were over it. In other words, if Jesus, the holy, was on top of the common and could subdue it, then if a king accepted Jesus, really, truly, then that which is common would actually be just. It would produce justice. But you can have temporal justice, but not if you're building it on this system over here. That's the problem with today's world. The church is no longer the church. So you're not going to have justice. That's why we don't. You can't go and get justice. Your courts are not courts of justice. Because they don't even know right from wrong. That's what all this stuff is about these Supreme Court judges and so on. Will they stick with the Constitution or not? I mean, imagine. The whole thing was set up that they had to, and they're arguing about it. I mean, it's like, oh, I guess, you know, O'Connor didn't care, and I guess, you know, Souter didn't care, and so on. So, you know, only a couple of them care. You know, Thomas and Scalia, that's about it. And maybe Rehnquist sometimes. You know, so the rest of the justices, we're into injustice because it's just arbitrary. It's just whatever the death is the law. You think it is. It's not common sense. So you don't have any hope because it's all arbitrary. But I tell you what, I know where the problem lies right here. The problem is in the church today. It isn't the world that failed. It's the church that whored. I'm going to say that again. It's not the world that failed. It's the church that slept. Slept with. And because of that, because the church is not the church, it can't talk. It's silent. It just acquiesces. Why? Because they take bribes. Every church takes a bribe. 501c from the feds. That's called a benefit from the world. That is a secular, common, temporal benefit. Why is it that God's church would take anything from the world? How could God's church take favor from the world? State. That's not from God. There are no corporate charters from God. You understand? Everything's common. Everything is secular. And they want local tax exemptions. So now you have local, state, and federal all polluting us. And you would think, well, that's a small point. No, it's not a small point. It happens to be a spot or a wrinkle. Now, how, when Jesus comes back, will he find a bride without spot or wrinkle? If you've got all those spots and wrinkles. So clean and unclean no longer means anything to us. Well, you know, that's just our secular part. What secular part? Show me in the Bible where there's any secular in the house of God. Everything must be holy, spiritual, eternal. Nothing must be secular. Temple. Even the building. It has to be set aside, dedicated to holy use. It can't be secular. The money. It can't be filthy lucre. It can't be. It's set aside, given to God. When it's given to God, it takes a different character. I don't want to prove all that. I'm just telling you. So something's wrong in the church today, because this is what God had in mind, to build a new kingdom or a new house. The churches are just churches of the kingdom. A church is not the kingdom, but a church is part of the kingdom. And if the kingdom is holy, my kingdom, he said, is not of this world. Now, he didn't say what it was. He said what it wasn't. It isn't one of these. This is not my kingdom. It's over here. It's not of this world. I'm building it out of a different stone. I'm founding it differently. Now, again, I have to talk personally because I'm personal. And this whole kingdom is nothing but personal. It's not an impersonal thing where you come in as Irishmen or, you know, Brits or something. You got to come in personally, one by one. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I didn't have that. I was over here. I was in the world. I understood when it said in the world, you know, don't be over here. I knew I was over here. I knew everything about me was wrong. Everything about me was wrong. Everything. Wasn't anything good. Nothing. Even my pride was bad. Everything about me was, even my pretended humility was bad. Everything about me was bad, see? I was a complete liar and deceiver. I could fall back into that pretty easily. I think a few of you could join me in that. Could I see a show of the hands of those that could still fall back into sin without too much difficulty? You know, it's not exactly all past. Even though you were born again, this is born again. When you're born again, that means you build. Okay, I'll put you here. We'll put you right here. This is you, another rock being built onto Jesus. Now, when you're born again, that's the first thing you do is you repent, because you're not holy. So you repent here. I'm not holy. Then you believe, because you're believing in number two. And then you obey, number three, because of the power of the Holy Spirit within you. You see how I did that? So I'm being adjusted in every way. I have to repent of everything of me. In other words, there's nothing good about me. Totally depraved. And then I have to believe on Jesus for my goodness, my salvation, because I don't have any. I just admitted in number one that I didn't have any. So in number two, I've got to believe in somebody else who has it and gives it to me as a free gift. That's number two. So this is all very personal. I repent that my mother doesn't repent for me. You know, my godparents don't, you know, take care of me. I got to do it myself. They baptized on my behalf. I got to be baptized. I've got to be a believer. I've got to be an obedient one, you know. And God's going to come back and check me out someday and say, well done. You did well, Jim. Not well believed, not well repented. Well done. You went all the way. You went one, two, three. See, a lot of Christians are happy just that they repented. Well, I know I'm no good. Well, that doesn't please God that you know you're no good. Well, at least I know I'm no good. Well, I know, but that still isn't salvation. Well, I believe in Jesus. Well believed. I don't think he's going to say well believed. Well believed is faith active in love. It isn't just faith. So I repent and I say, I know I'm bad. I'm honest. Oh, I know I'm bad. Well, that's not good to say I know I'm bad. You see, but most people are content with that. Well, I'm not a hypocrite anyway. A lot of people not in church that say that. Well, thank God I'm not a hypocrite. I don't want to go to church because there's a bunch of hypocrites there. Well, join in. I mean, you fit in great. I don't know why you want to stay away. There must be a lot of pride in that, huh? I don't want to be a hypocrite. A lot of guys are like that. I don't want to be a hypocrite, you know. Really? But what are you? What are you? You don't want to be a hypocrite. What are you? Well, I'm a moral person. Oh, well, wow. And that's not hypocrisy. You got some goodness going for you? I think you go back and read the rules again. There's nothing good in you. Not spiritual, not moral, not political, not economic. Nothing is good about you. Everything you do is for your own good. Everything you do is for you. That kingdom won't float. That kingdom's not going to make it. That kingdom is temporal. It's going to end soon. Judgment. It's going to burn. Everything's going to burn. You see? So Jesus has got another one. Holy things don't burn. Spiritual things don't burn. Eternal things don't burn. They don't flood. Nothing can happen to them. Death doesn't touch holy. Death doesn't touch holy. Holy resurrects all the time. You can't hurt holy. Whenever you're hurt, that's just your flesh. It was never your holy. Did you know that? That was never your spirit. Spirits don't burn. You wounded my spirit. I don't think spirits wound. I'm telling you, my spirit is wounded probably forever. Well, you know, we don't have any medicine for that because I never heard of it. Never heard of that disease. If it's of the spirit, it's full of joy. Where the spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, not wound. You see, the bad theology in the body of Christ today is humorous to me. If it weren't tragic, it would be humorous. Because it's like, I don't see that in the Bible. Wounded spirits in the Bible. You've wounded me beyond repair. You don't know the hell it's been. You know, that's just your flesh talking. That's your selfish flesh not wanting to die. You thought marriage for happiness. Did anybody here think that when you got married it was going to be for happiness? No, it's for holiness. Maybe I didn't mention that. Did you have counseling? I should have. Marriage is not for happiness, folks. You got happiness in Jesus, not in your mate. Your mate is not the source of your happiness and your joy and your peace. That comes from Jesus. Marriage is for exposure. And it's working great. I don't know why you're complaining about it. Marriage exposes all your wickedness and shallowness and hypocrisy. You ever notice how your mate brings out your worst side? Does anybody notice that? I mean, it just seems like your worst side keeps coming out and you intended to have your good side come out. But what you discover after 10, 20, 30, 40 years is you don't have one. You don't have a good side. All you've got is bad. You know, you're a bad person. The only thing good about you is Jesus. The only thing good about you is Jesus. The only thing good about you is Jesus. Jesus in you, yes. But that's why you have to believe. Because this whole thing is believe on me. He didn't say come unto the law. He didn't even say go to the Heavenly Father. Jesus said come unto me. Did you hear that? Did you hear what I just did? This rock is on the earth. It's not up in heaven. But this is a heavenly rock on the earth. Jesus was not just a man. He was the Son of the living God. The only begotten. Jehovah's Witnesses are wrong. They think Jesus is a Son of God. Not possible. He is the only begotten. So Jehovah's Witnesses are teaching a lie. And why do people like it? Because they don't want the truth. Flesh would love to keep sinning. So even though they're moral looking, see, you can be secular and be moral, you're just legalistic. You know, the Muslims claim today they're moral. Muslim is just a human religion. Every religion in the world is just human. They're just human. They're all common. They're all secular. And they're all temporal. There's no future to them. There's nothing spiritual about any one of them. They all kill Jesus. They all hate Jesus, and he's the king. He's the savior. He's the example. So here's Jesus, the Holy One. I'm going to call him my example. The Holy One, that's my example. You always wonder if I'm going to get any scripture in here or not. Number two, he's my Savior. One, two. And number three, he's my Lord. That are those are the three offices of Jesus. One, two, three. Holy, example, merciful, Savior, powerful, Lord. That's what it's all about. There's the political, there's the economic, the social, the legislative. You know, this is the legislative, this is judicial, and this is executive. I can show you the entire world. I can show you everything about this. Why? Am I clever? I'm not clever. I just read the Bible. I just read it and took it literally. I took it seriously. Why? Because I'm smart? No, because I was wicked. I was wicked, and I wanted to know why it was that God wanted to save me. I mean, what was wrong with me? And I found out. I found out that I didn't measure up according to this rock. I mean, I didn't accept Jesus till I killed him. I do that every day. Every day I do that. You know, y'all do it every day? I kill him on a daily basis. I mean, I still have flesh in me, and that flesh is always out to get him. Because he's trying to put joy in me, and I want misery. You know, I mean, he said, Jim, smile. No, I haven't even eaten breakfast yet. You know, and I just have a flesh. Do you have a flesh like that? Jim, I want you to read the Bible later. Jim, when you read the Bible, I want you to understand it. I can't. You know, I mean, everything about me is still resistant, even though I'm a Christian. I know my heart is right, but my soul is not yet quite perfected. Anybody notice that? So every day I go in, and the first thing I do is kill the guy. First off, hi, Jesus. Ha! You know, and I just get that out of the way because I know I'm going to do it. So why, you know, I bottom line. You know, just go right into Jesus and tell him, you know, I'm going to say a few phony things, and then after that I'll bring the knife out, and then after that you're going to forgive me, and then after that the Holy Spirit will fill me with, you know, and so on. So I just get that over with. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you all understand? You know, what keeps me alive is my humility every day by seeing how wicked I am still. Not in my heart. I know my heart is pure. But my soul isn't, and my life isn't. Peggy lives with me. She knows. She knows. So, you know, it's not like I can fake it. Now, most of you don't know. You kind of like, some of you like me. It's just because you don't know me. And, you know, if Peggy got up and preached a little while, you'd probably know me. You know. So she's not preaching. That's all. I'm not going to let her preach. I'm keeping the illusion going as long as I can. No, you know, you're wrong, though. But you know what? I don't even count that. Well, you don't trust me or like me or whatever. I don't even count that. That's not Christ in you. See, Christ in you likes me. So there you have it. Now you see how comfortable I am. I'm totally comfortable, even when people are going to stab a knife in me. It's okay, stab. It doesn't hurt me because I know you don't mean it. That was your flesh stabbing me. And spirit isn't affected by flesh. Sticks and stones will break my bones. Names will never hurt me. Yet it doesn't matter what you say and do. I don't believe it. I believe God. I never believe people. I don't believe myself. I believe God. There's nothing in here that says believe in yourself. I don't believe in myself. How many believe in yourself? Well, I'm a good person. I have a few good things. I wouldn't say I was perfect, but I have a few good things. Yeah, what? What? What's good? I'm not as bad as Pastor Jim. Oh, yeah, you're exactly equal to me. You are my equal, I tell you. Oh, man, you are my equal. And Peggy's good because Peggy looks like she's better, but you just don't know. You don't know what happens behind closed doors. You see, when we get into the house, Margaret, she's like tough like nails. But she's so sweet here in public, you know. But that's fake. She's faking it. At home, she's a monster. She's a, you know, snake. She's, you know, like a tiger, you know. She's rough. Hello. But, you know, anybody can fake it until you get into real life. When you get into real life, you know, you'll find out you just don't have it. You're poverty stricken. You all discovered that? You're just common. You're just secular. You're just temporal. It's amazing. As spiritual as you can be, if you really are honest, you'll discover that in the moment you're close to God, in that same moment you're thinking, I wish people could see me now. You know, you are so vain. How many know, am I telling the truth? You are vain. You are vainglorious. In other words, you still want glory in the flesh. Even though you love Jesus, I know you love Jesus from your heart, but your flesh still wants a little bit of, did everybody see how humble I was? You know, and there's just a little pride there for, I mean, anyway. So we're a complete contradiction. I know you know that. You just don't like to admit that all the time because you want to pretend like everything about you is Christian. No, only your heart and your soul is just kind of getting there on a daily basis. You got to die daily. How many know the Bible says die daily? Well, it's not your heart. You already got that. The minute you became a Christian, built yourself on that. The minute you became a believer, right here, you repented, you believed, and you started obeying, from that moment, your heart was pure, but not your soul. You have to grow up into be the house. You can't just be fitted into the foundation, you know, next to Jesus. You've got to be builded up. Well, that takes a while for your soul and your life to be built up. How many know you're not yet, you're still under construction. You are not yet finished product. You're under construction. So we don't apologize for that. You know, it's okay. But we don't excuse it either. Your bad behavior is still bad behavior. It's evil. It's common. It's secular. It's temporal. We want your everything about you to be holy, spiritual, and eternal. Wouldn't that be amazing if a pastor could help his people along that line? I mean, it's just not done. But we could have video screens and stuff. I mean, you understand? That's what pastors do. They fill up with video screens and choirs and stuff like that. That distracts you from the fact that you're wicked. Because you see that beautiful choir. Wasn't that beautiful choir, Alice? Yes, it was. Lucille, I'm coming back here because they're very nice here. You know, and you can do all that, the bowling alleys and all that stuff, and you can have all that stained glass window and so on. But, you know, it doesn't change you. The fact that there's a stained glass window in the building does not change you. Does anybody notice that? You could even sit near it. You could even have a picture of Mary on there or Jesus or something. It isn't going to help. And, it, you know, the reason I don't wear robes, I used to. I had a collar and robes and everything. And they even got colorful after a while. Pastors used to have it all black with white collar with black shirts and robes and stuff. But then they started, so you could have purple and pink and, you know, it was just, pastors have really gotten up to date. But it's all worldly. There's nothing in the Bible about a pink shirt. How many know that's not in the Bible? It may be in homosexuality, but it's not in the Bible. You understand that? That's the pink mafia. Now, it's telling you something. That's powerful in this world. But it's common. It's secular. I'm not down on that. It's okay. If people want to do that, let them do it. But I give this warning. That's not Jesus Christ. You can't have... We have the biggest... You have a huge... Did you know that? Big homosexual community here. Did you know that you have the biggest in the world? Did you know the church here in Dallas is the biggest? And Fort Worth, right next to my church. I mean next to. Right next to. Contiguous with. Neighbor. That's why I'm there. When we set up our church first in this town, the reason we set it up in the first place, we went to the Melrose Hotel. That's where all the homosexuals are. That's a big homosexual place. And we saved a lot of them. We outgrew that place. We could go back now. But we outgrew that place. We got so big, we had almost 350 people at one time. Then because we got too big, we went to the Biblical Arts Center, where Hillcrest had been previously, to build, you know, to follow in their footsteps kind of thing. But then I began preaching about holiness. And all of the people that were, you know, committing adultery and whatnot through the love of God sermons, they suddenly realized the love of God. It wasn't just that Jesus loves you, number two, but also you had to be holy, number one, and that God was going to use his power to make you holy, not just to make you happy. And I shouldn't have done that because I lost all those customers. We did. We just started losing them right and left. All of the airline stewardesses who were the, you know, the dolls of Dallas and so on, and all the titty bar people and so on, we all lost them because they no longer could come and hear about the love of God. Because God's mercy is wide. It'll go to anybody. But he has holiness, and his truth is narrow. You can't just live any old way you want to. I mean, it's not that you're going to do it. It's that Jesus is going to do it. But they just didn't want to wait around for that because they didn't think they could do it. I told you, they're either weak or wicked. The weak just feel like, even when they hear the Gospels, yeah, but I just can't. I don't have, like, your faith. I realize you have faith, and I believe in that. But I just don't think I could ever make it. That's the weak. The wicked are... I hear what you're talking about, and I know it's right, but I don't want to do it. I don't think I can, but I don't want to either. So those two groups are not being reached today in this city. Are you hearing me? And the reason is because we Christians are phony, hypocrite, liars, not telling the truth. They ought to see more repentance from us. They ought to see the power of our faith that it's in him and not in yourself. And they ought to see the obedience that you have through the power of the Holy Spirit, so that they say, I want the fruit that you have because the Christ in you is powerful. You're not doing the good works. They're wrought in God. You're not doing the good works. He's in you to will. He's in you to will. He's in you to do. He's in you to will. He's in you to do. All understanding? Now, let's look at Zerubbabel. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Now listen to it. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Isn't that amazing? Here's the secret to the kingdom of God. Is it already 10:15? Oh, I'm just getting into it. I'm really getting warmed up. Is anybody getting blessed? No. Not by might. It's not by any human might, common, secular, temporal. It's not by might nor by power of this world. It's by my spirit, saith the Lord. This is all holy, spiritual, eternal. This is the way something is built in this world for a lasting kingdom. A kingdom that is everlasting. First thing you got to have is a king. Here he is, King Jesus. This is King Jesus. And what does King Jesus do? Watch this. As Lord, he baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. Watch. This Jesus is the one that gives you the Holy Spirit, who helps you from a little child to a young man to a mature father until you become like Christ. Now, my goal is not just that you get saved. That's little children. Not just that you're discipled. That's young men. But that you are exactly like Jesus in your body as well as your soul as well as your spirit. So that you love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Not in the world to come, but now. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know if I can get that far. Well, yeah, we can get you there. We can get you there. Just have to kill you. We just have to kill you. But we're not going to kill your spirit. I just told you, spirit doesn't die. We're just going to replace your soul, cleanse it, purify it, renew your mind till you begin thinking right. Because you think wrong. You're still thinking to take care of yourself. God's already taken care of you. Why do you need a good husband? You have Jesus. Why do you need good parents? You have Jesus. Why do you need a good pastor? You have Jesus. You don't need anything. You have everything. If with Christ Jesus, he freely gives you all things. Seek first the kingdom of God. I'll give you everything else. You already have everything. Rejoice. The only thing you should be doing is rejoicing all the time in this world, not in a nice world. God deliberately puts us in a nasty world as exiles. Israel today is not in her land. Even when she's in her land, she's not holy. So she's being booted out even while she's in. She's got all these neighbors all around her, and she can't get rid of them. So she's in their land, but she doesn't even control her own land. All the Jewish leaders have to give it away, and the United Nations make them give away because they're in the world. They're not a holy people. God's not going to protect them because they're not holy. They don't have any title to the land because they're not holy. That's a holy land for a holy people under a holy God with a holy law. And they're not holy at all. You see, even their holiness is just hypocrisy. It's externalism. It's not from the heart. You ever go to Jerusalem? I have. Those Jewish Hasidics, the ones with the curls and the black hats and all, they just knock you down. They are so, you know, New Yorkish. And they just knock you right down. They don't care about lines or anything. You know, we're all standing in line, you know, and trying to get to the Western Wall or something. They just bump right through you. They don't care because you're just goyim. The religious people despise you. There's no mercy. How can you be holy if you're not merciful and powerful so that the world sees the kingdom of God in you? No, religion is not good. Religion just hides stuff in the basement. Religion is pure hypocrisy. Religion is, you know, you're talking Jesus here, but you're walking devil here. Do you all know that you're living a double life? Are you all aware of that? You're not living a pure life. You're not happy all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always. You're not doing that. Love your neighbor as yourself. You're not doing that. Wives, submit to your husbands. You're not doing that. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. You're not doing that. What are you doing? So you're not doing anything that he said. So anything that's been done is just a gift. It's just a gift. It's just a gift. Jesus forgives you. But then, if you really believe that he forgave you, you get the power of the Holy Spirit baptizing you, filling you with his Spirit so that you're led of the Spirit and powerful, able to be just like Jesus. Greater works than these will you do because I go to the Father. It's not you, it's Christ in you. He's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure in this world. My wife should see the love of God here. My children should be the love of God here. My business partner should see it here. My politician neighbors, they should see it here. The church should see it here. We should love one another as Christ loved us. It's not just talk. It needs to be a walk. Remember I said when he comes back, he's not going to say well believed, well wanted. He's going to say well done. And I'm going to make sure that some of you make it. That kills me. And it will. I know it'll kill me. It's good. You're good for my flesh. I notice a few of you are stubborn. Could I see a show of hands? Yes, the very ones I was thinking. Actually, I notice 100%. There's 100% stubborn in this room. Stiff-necked, stubborn. Even though you love Jesus. Yeah, that's just more, you know, that's just belief. But you're not repenting enough. That's why there's no power. To the extent you repent, to that extent, you'll be powerful. Most of us Christians, we don't want to hear about the negative stuff anymore. Let's tell me about the righteousness of Christ. You know, well, you don't grow because of that. You need a rod. You need a rod. A lot of pastors out there are preaching real positive kind of stuff, and you think just because they have meetings and, you know, a third of the people get helped. What about the other two-thirds? They're not touching them. I could name every pastor that's doing it out there, talking about Jesus, how good he is and how wonderful Jesus is, and you're the righteousness of Christ, and kind of building you up. That only works on one-third of the people. It doesn't work on the other two-thirds at all. It doesn't have any impact on them. I can tell you exactly why, but it's not important. Don't be fooled by those ministries. You could go to those ministries all day long, buy all their tapes, read all their books, and you won't be helped one bit. It's time to grow up. They don't ever use the rod. They never use the rod. Say, but you'll never mature without the rod. You need to be disciplined, spanked. Please, Pastor, spank us. You do hate it. You don't like the law because you think the law is legalism. No, the law is a description of the work of the Holy Spirit in you. It's not legalism. Not something you should do. It's something that God is doing, and you need to cooperate with Him because you need not to grieve the Holy Spirit, because that's where your happiness lieth. The same God that made you, Holy One, is the same God that saved you, the Holy One, the Merciful One, is the same God that enables you, strengthens you, and leads you, and guides you, and builds you up, and makes you Christ-like. It's the same God. Now, everyone's neglecting number three. They're pretending like they're doing, you know, number two. But if you're really doing number two and you have faith, faith is always active in love. There is no such thing as faith without works. There is no such thing as faith without love. Yes, you're saved by faith alone, but it doesn't stay alone. The faith alone saves you. That's your salvation. But your salvation moves on through sanctification and glorification, willing and doing. Now, we don't have that today. So I'm not a new kind of minister. Sounds new. I'm not. I'm actually just teaching the old stuff. It's the old story. It's in the Bible. Now, do you think the other ministers will be able to run me out of town, or, you know, that I'll lose all my customers and they'll get them? No, I'll just tell you right now. God will back up His truth. So it doesn't matter how many people come, or if they like it or don't like it, I'll win. I'm going to win. I'm 65. I know I should be dead. But I ain't going to die. I'm not going to die until I'm done. So with some of you, that could be a long time. I'm going to live a long time. Because I intend to, I'm a lover. Lovers never quit. They never tire out. I never do. I don't tire. I'm just the same as if I was 18. I'm not boasting personally. I'm just telling you something about God. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about God. I'm just telling you, God loves you so much that He wants you to be builded on this rock like Zerubbabel. Now, here's what it says, and then I'll have to go home. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain. Okay, here's the mountain right here. This is a baby mountain. A ziggurat is a baby mountain. Remember when the world was flooded? That's when Nimrod built this great ziggurat, the Tower of Babel. He built a big city like Dallas that stuck way up in the air. You can look downtown at Dallas, or take any city in the world, and buildings always stick up in the air. That's how big the city is. That's pride. That's making a name for ourselves. It's always a bank or an insurance company or whoever controls the town. Whoever controls the town has the biggest building. It could be a church. In the medieval days, it was always a church. But we're not in the medieval days. Those days are over. Now, it's always commerce. It's not politics. Political buildings are not that big. They're trying to get bigger through doing business. They're trying to become a church. So politics is on its way to becoming a church. And that will never happen. I just said something really powerful. It'll never happen. It's not even possible to happen. I don't care what all the debate's about today. You're not going to join church and state here. It'll never happen. This country was formed by a separation, and I don't care how many Christians are talking and gabbing and yakking and how many politicians like the idea and so on to kick out the Muslims and whatnot. It won't work. I'll just tell you right now, we're never going to have a king here, ever. Never going to happen. We have a different destiny. We're in the Bible. We have a destiny, and that destiny is going to take place. And that's why I'm here. I know why I'm here. I know why I'm here. I'm not. There's no confusion in my mind. As pagan as I was, I am now not. You see, he that been forgiven much, she that hath been forgiven much, loveth much. The reason why there's love, because this is where the love is, right here. This is God's love to you, but this is your love to God. But it's not really you, it's Christ in you doing it, because he's the God of love. Remember, Jesus said, the works that I do, I don't do, but the Father who dwelleth in me doeth the works. Even Jesus didn't do good works. So his love to you was not really his love to you. It was really the Father's love to you. Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. You've seen the Father if you've seen me, because the Father's in me, and he's doing his works. I always do what pleases to him. I don't ever do my own works. You're not looking at my works. This is the Father's works. The Father himself loveth you. Do you understand? I'm not me. A Christ in me through the Spirit is the Father's love to you. I'm a gift of God. Did anybody pick that up? Did anybody? I mean, it would be a miracle if anybody got a hold of that. I don't mean just to say it, but to actually know it. Pastor Jim, you're a gift of God. Not because I'm any good. I told you I'm no good. It's because God who dwelleth in me and I who abide and dwelleth in him, God is doing a work on your behalf for you. Don't worry, God will always raise up a standard when a flood comes. I'm made for floods. I'm made for crisis. I'm made for trouble, difficulty. I told you how I was born, how I grew up. Everything about me, everything, I've been prepared from the foundation. I don't need friendship. I don't need good wife. I don't need good children. I don't need anything. I don't need money. I don't need anything. I don't need health. I don't need anything. I don't need it. I grew up without it, and I don't need it. But when I met Jesus, I realized, here's what I need. Not what I want. This is what I need. This is all you need. This is all you need. And God has raised me up. I'm a prophet. I'm not. I'm serving as a pastor, but I'm really not a pastor. You can tell I'm too rough. I'm not friendly and kind and nice and hold your hand and so on. I'll come and rifle you. I love to speak truth. I hate lies. I once was the biggest liar. That's why I hate it. Because I know it didn't lead to happiness. It promised much but gave nothing. When I found him, whom I thought was crazy, and I found out now, he's the only one that's wise. He's the only one that's loving. He's the only one that's pure. He's the only one that I love. I adore him. I worship him. Not when I'm here with you. I worship him alone. You don't know in public. It could be phony or fake. You don't know. But you don't know what takes place in my heart when I'm alone. That's where it counts, is when sins are every day being confessed and joy every day from being forgiven and power every day, that's Christianity. You ought to be led by the Spirit of God. Those are called the sons of God who are led. This is led right here. This is Jesus for you. This is Jesus in you. Through you, leading you by the power of the Holy Ghost who dwells within. That's power. And I'll tell you, when we go to India, we're going to India this week. When we go to India, the people there will know. I'll be a hero there. I'm not much here, but they won't know that. But when I go there, they're going to go, oh, Pastor Jim, could you please come back? We're going to speak to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pastors in, you know, Delhi and Bangalore and so on. Lynn's going to be there, and Lynn will tell you, they'll even say to her, oh, that Pastor Jim was good, and so on, because you're a hero in any other place but home. It doesn't bother me. I like that. I don't want to be a hero. I like it that people hate me and despise me and misunderstand. It's not a problem. You know why? Because it's not my doing. That's God's agenda. I just be faithful to God, and I will love you not as you want, but as you need. But that's all God wants, tell you the truth. Not hold your hand and make you feel warm and so on. I'm not going to do that. Peggy doesn't want me to do that either, but I'm not going to do that. No, no, no. What you need is truth. That will set you free. You need the truth to know that Zerubbabel, this seed that was born in Babylon, in exile, in the wrong place, holy seed that God was building on a spiritual rock, not a physical rock, but he laid down a physical rock, but he was really talking about a spiritual rock. The rock he's talking about here is spiritual. Saith the Lord, who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you'll be a plain. So this ziggurat will be knocked, that is, the world will be humbled. And he shall bring forth the capstone, the cornerstone, with shouts of grace. grace to it. You know what grace is? 2 and 3. This is grace. Mercy plus power. Mercy to forgive you for not being, number one, holy. Mercy to forgive you for not being holy, and power to make you holy. He forgave you for not being, and then he gave you so that you could be. That's a gift. Those three gifts are wonderful. The first to expose you, the second to cover you, and the third to enable you. Everything you need right there in that stone. Measure yourself by the stone. Don't measure yourself by me. A lot of people try to say, well, I want to be like you, Pastor Jim. No, you don't. You can imitate me in the sense that I'm looking to Jesus. In that sense, you can imitate me. You can imitate me to the extent that I say Jesus is my example, he's my Savior, he's my Lord. I'm following him. 1, 2, 3. Every day, 1, 2, 3. Every day, 1, 2, 3. I repent every day, I believe every day, I obey every day. I repent every day, I believe every day, I obey every day. You say, how do you do that? I worship God every day. I worship him in tongues, I worship him in English, I worship him. I love you, Jesus, with all my heart and all my soul. And I just begin praying and praising, just like he said he wanted. I don't think about it like some of you goes, that didn't sound Jesus-y. You know, I don't care what it sounds like. I'm not doing it to impress anybody. I'm praising the Lord. So I worship him with all my heart and all my soul and all my strength. It's not just, you know, talking. You know, it's passion. That's the Holy Spirit. And then what happens? He exposes me. The more I worship him, the more sins I see. God, and I love you so much. No, I'm not. Yeah, you're right, I don't. Okay. You know, and the minute I say I love you, he shows me that I don't. Well, at least I love your people. No, I don't either. You know, and so the minute you make a statement, you know, because you're in his presence and you're worshiping him, all the sin comes out. Have you ever noticed that? The more close you get to God, the more sin you begin to see. I'm not like you at all. Jesus, you are so different to me. I'm not even close to you. I don't even think I'm a Christian. This morning I was praying, and you know, I was thinking, I wonder if I became a minister for totally selfish reasons and God never called me. That's what I was praying about this morning. It's like, yeah, it never occurred to me. I could be doing this just to get my own selfish needs met. Because I want to grow in Jesus, so I just became a minister maybe just to grow in Jesus. And the more I said it, the more powerful it became. It's like, I think I did become just for, I wasn't called at all. I think there's just my own idea. Well, I'm not saying it was. I'm just saying all of a sudden you see all kinds of sin in you you never saw before. Just because you get in the presence of God, he begins every day to show you a new sin that you never saw before, an old sin that you never saw so deep. That repentance is how it, that's how you grow. To the extent I do one, I'll get a three. But I have to pass through two. I have to pass through Jesus to get through the Spirit. But the Spirit then will operate in my life. Last, you saw this Zerubbabel guy, this guy who's the seed in Babylon, is going to put the capstone. In other words, the church is not going to be built in the Holy Land, and the church is not going to be built in Dallas or Fort Worth. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, the hands of Zerubbabel has laid the foundations of this temple, and his hands shall also finish it. All year long, I'm going to talk about that. But then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? How big are we? Not too big. Don't despise the day of small things. You're a small thing. Don't despise it. Don't go, well, you have a lot of customers. I don't care about that. I just preach the truth. The truth will bring the customers. Don't worry. Sooner or later, everything else will fall apart. I'm not worried about it. I got to have the biggest church in Dallas. I could have... There's 20,000 at Preston Wood. I could have 25. It's nothing. It means nothing. It's not that. Don't despise the day of small things. Truth is what you need, not programs, not big parking lots and, you know, big screens on the thing with the words flashing across them and all that. You don't need that. By the way, we are putting up a billboard out in front of them. Yeah. With George Bush and myself holding hands. You don't need anything. You don't need externals. Our religious is not. We don't have any. You know, there's not even a window in this building. I mean, out in front, but we don't care. We have nothing. This is poverty stricken. I mean, it's low. But you know what? It's truth that you need. It's truth. You can get religion anywhere, but truth is rare. And I'll tell you what. God has his people in town. He has ministers in this town. He has powerful ministers in this town that love the Lord exactly as I do. and I will find them. I've already found one. The pastor of Hillcrest. Powerful. Powerful. Immediate. We had spiritual unity just like that. We're the smallest church. He might be one of the bigger ones. But immediately, we have the same spirit, same goal, same vision, same God. Powerful. Now, it's easy for me to go and do that. I don't want to do it because I don't want to go and preach at his church. I don't want to be used. I don't want to be known. Not until you guys are grown up, and that could take a year. Some of you, you know, it might take two, but I'll probably be dead by then. But no, don't worry about it. I'm not going anywhere. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to do anything. I hate going to India. I don't want to go to India. I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to go anywhere. But you know what? I do what God says. So we're not voting on it. It's just when God says go, you go. But I don't want to go. I can do the same thing here. I can do it better here than over there. But over there, you'll get notoriety, and, you know, all people love it and want copies of your books and all that stuff. It's nothing to me. It means nothing. I don't care about that, but God may. God does. Okay, so we'll do what God says. Run your life and ruin it. Let God build your life, and you'll be free, happy, full, complete, prosperous. I'll tell you, the best is yet to come. God has saved the best for these last days. Amen? All right, it's going to be a great year. We're going to see the kingdom of God built, not talked about.